Okay, so today's topic is one that was requested by a number of people, and we're going to try to do it a little quicker than we've done some of the past topics because there were still a lot of requested topics that we haven't gotten to. I'd like to do as many of them as we can. The request was to discuss Olam Haba, Tchiyas HaMeisim, and other related matters. So I want to start off by perhaps suggesting that this is in fact something that we shouldn't be discussing. Perhaps it'll be very short here today, actually. There are several reasons why this is something we shouldn't discuss. Take a look at your Makoro sheets. The first one is very simple because we are not going to be able to understand it anyway. And this point is essentially made by the Gemara. First source called Nevi'im Kulam Lo Nisnavu El Limos Mashiach. Aval liolam haba ayin lo ras alokim zu asecha. What the Gemara is saying is that if you look at all the Nevi'im, so we have many, many prophecies about Yemos Mashiach, especially Nevi'im Achronim, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. These are all about prophecies about Yemos Mashiach, just like the Nevuot Shmini Shel Pesach that we just read. But not just there. Even if we look at the Torah, Parshas Nitzavim, and elsewhere, we have discussions of the Messianic era. What about Olam Haba? So you don't find that, at least not explicitly. We'll see that there are numerous Ramazim to Olam Haba, but there are no explicit prophecies. So why is that? The Gemara is not clear. It's making an observation. However, the Rambam explains why this is. We'll read it inside in a moment, but essentially what the Rambam says is that we're not going to be able to understand it. And therefore, there is no point in discussing it. So let's take a look at the Rambam source number two. Hatova gdola shetia ba hanefesh ba'olam haba, ein shum derech ba'olam hazeh la'sigav leita osa. This goodness that's going to be for the soul in olam haba, there is no way to really understand it, to know what it's referring to. Shein anu yodim ba'olam hazeh, ela tovas haguf, v'la anu mis'avim, aval osa tova gdola ad me'od, v'ein le'erech b'tovos ha'olam hazeh, ela derech mashal. So the goodness that is olam haba is something that we can't relate to, as the Rambam is going to explain, that it's essentially a spiritual reward, a spiritual existence. And we here in this world are not able to relate to a pleasure that's entirely spiritual. We have physical bodies. We're not only physical bodies. We're a guf and a neshama. But as a guf and a neshama, so we can't relate to something that's entirely spiritual. And that being the case, So how could we possibly expect to relate to Olam Haba? So therefore, says the Rambam, what could we do? We could give a mashal. We could say the pleasures of Olam Haba are greater than all the pleasures of Olam Hazeh. Right? Sort of like, we'll see in a moment, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that Shah Achas of Olam of Koras Ruach and Olam Haba is greater than Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh. But we can't really describe it. We can't relate to it. Right? So that's what he says. Al derech mashal, aval b'derech ha'emes, shena roch tovas ha'nefesh b'olam haba, b'tovos ha'gof b'olam hazeh, b'mach l'mishne ein okein. El osa tova gdola ad in cheker, ve'ein la'erech v'dimyon. There's nothing that we can really compare to in a meaningful way. In other words, it is true, obviously, that we have some hasagos of non-physical pleasures, good ones and bad ones. I mean, kavod, for example, isn't a physical pleasure, and we have certain types of spiritual hanos in Olam Hazeh. The Rambam oftentimes writes about the pleasure that's associated with Avas Hashem, for example, or the pleasure of Talmud Torah, the like. So it's not that we only, you know, the only pleasure we could think of is a sizzling steak. That's true. But still the Rambam writes that we can't, even with those things. And even with our imagination, we can't relate to it. Yes, Ruli.
Where is Olam Haba in his chronological positioning? Meaning, is he saying this is coming after Mashiach, before Mashiach? This is something...
Good question. So we're going to talk about it at the end. Right now, we're going to start by talking about whether we should even talk about that, whether we should answer that question. If we determine that we can answer that question, so then we'll see. But Bekitzer, the Rambam does think that Olam Haba exists now. When a person dies, they're worthy of it, they go to Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is an entirely spiritual existence. So that's the Rambam's position briefly, but we'll have a chance to read what the Rambam actually says in a bit more detail later on. Okay, so the Rambam continues. El osa ta'adada, humash amar David, marabu tuvcha asher tzafant el reyacha. How good is the goodness that you have hidden to those who fear you? Meaning to say that you've hidden it because we can't really relate to it. Kfar hodi anu, we're now in Halacha Zayin, kfar hodi anu ha-chachamim rishonim, shetovas olam haba. So our chachamim have told us, and we're going to see in a moment where the chachamim have told us, the Rambam understands that Chazal did present his perspective on olam haba, when they compare Olam Haba to Tzadikim Yoshin Vatrosein Biroshein Menenim as if Ashchina. So the Chachamim have already told us that the goodness of Olam Haba Ein Koach L'Adam La'Siga Borya. We can't really understand it. Where did the Chachamim say that we can't really understand it? So we'll see in a moment. That's this Gemara that we started with, the Gemara in Brachos. V'ein Yodea Gadla V'yafia V'atzma El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levado. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu really understands Olam Haba. Right? That's what the pasuk says. Ayin lo rasa elokim zulasecha. V'shekol ha-tovo she-misnav-im bohem ha-nevi'im li-Yisrael, einan elo ledvarm she-beguf, shenanim bohem Yisrael imos ha-Mashiach, b'zman she-tashuk ha-memshal Yisrael. So what's he saying? He's saying, let's go back to that chazal that we started with, that the nevi'im, you know, what's the apex? What's the thing that we're longing for, as it were? When you look at the nevi'im, you see Yemos HaMashiach. What is Yemos HaMashiach? And how does it compare to Olam Haba? So the Rambam's writing over here that Yemos HaMashiach is basically a this worldly experience. It's a perfected world. There's going to be world peace. There's going to be prosperity. There's going to be universal recognition of God. Umal ha'aretz deyas Hashem k'mayim liyam l'chasim. It's going to be a perfected world. All the problems that we really have now, they're going to, for the most part, go away. Yeah. But it's still a this-worldly reality. It's a perfected Olam Hazeh. And therefore, that's something we can relate to. And as such, it's appropriate for the Nevi'im to discuss that. That's what the Nevi'im discuss. Aval tovos chayel maba, ein la'erech v'dimyon. There's nothing to compare it to. The Lodimu Nevi'im, and why maybe we should have at least tried. Why didn't the Nevi'im at least try? They could have said, okay, you know, whatever the best thing you could imagine is, Olam Haba is a million times better. No, they didn't do that. Kedei shelo yithchesu osa b'dimyon, so as not to detract from it by that comparison. In other words, if we were to give that comparison, if the Nevi'im were to say that, that would really take away from it. Whatever analogy we could give takes away from what it is. And therefore, the Nevi'im didn't try to analogize because that would take away. Hushi shayau amar, ayin lo rasa lo kimzu asecha yasala machakelo. So no eye has seen it except for you, God. It's made for those who long for it. Kilomar, hatova shelo rasa ayin navi, the goodness that no prophet has ever seen with his eyes. The lo rasa ella lokim, only God has seen it. Asa osa lokim la adam shemachakelo. Amu chachamim, kal nevi'im kulan lo nivu el lumas mashiach, aval ha'olam haba, ayin la rasa lokim zu asacha. I want to make a ha'ara, which is, the Rambam says the same thing is true about God, for example, right? There's no way to really understand God. God is infinite, we're finite. And any analogies we give are really insufficient. Nevertheless, we do. I mean, the Dibra Torah Kalashim Ne'adam, what does that mean? It means that the Torah goes ahead and refers to God in ways that we're able to sort of understand. It anthropomorphizes God. So we don't say, oh, well, you know, you can't understand it anyway, so what's the point? Instead, the approach of the Torah seems to be, no, Dibra Torah Kalashim Ne'adam. So it's true. We have to be aware that these are not precise. You know, Rambam's first chelak of Mor Nevuchim is almost entirely about these statements in Tanakh, how they should be understood correctly and not literally, and so on and so forth. But in the end of the day, the Torah is Dibra Kalashim Ne'adam. So why don't we do the same thing with respect to Olam Haba? You know, with respect to Olam Haba, yes, it's true that there's no way to accurately describe it or even analogize or anything like that. But when it comes to descriptions of God, we say, okay, but let's do our best. Dibra Torah Kalashim Ne'adam. Why don't we do the same thing over here? So I think there's really two parts to this answer, to answer this. Number one is that one is necessary. In other words, it is true, Dibra Torah Kalashim Ne'adam. But what's the alternative? The alternative is to say nothing. So that's even worse. We need to be able to relate to God. We need to understand God. There's a mitzvah of Yedias Elokim. And that means to the extent that we're able to do, we have to try to understand God. Yes, we have to be aware that we can't understand his essence, that whatever understanding we give is limited, that it's incomplete. And we have to be aware of all those things. We have to appreciate that the descriptions given in the Torah of God should be understood in the correct way, as the Rambam indeed explains. But in the end of the day, we need a relationship. We need to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, right? Look at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah. To Yediyas Hashem is part of Anochi and Lo Yiyah and Avas Hashem and Yerushamayim and Achdos Hashem. This is something that we need to do. There is no mitzvah to know about Olam Haba. And therefore, to go ahead and to any way sort of speak about it. So the Torah said, no, that's not worthwhile, right? Any descriptions we give would really take away. Like the Rambam over here says that the Lo Dimu Anaviim, Kidei Shelo Yifchasu Osa B'Dimyon. At the same time, we'll see that even though that's true, we still do know about Olam Haba, and even if it's not in the Nevi'im, explicitly, it is Beremiza, and Chazal do tell us something about it. So it's not like it's entirely ignored. And even when it comes to Olam Haba, then there is a certain balance, which is something that we will return to in a moment. So again, the first two reasons why perhaps we should not go on in our shir in terms of attempting to describe what Olam Haba is. Number one, we can't understand it anyway. And that is the reason why the prophets don't describe it. And number two is not only can't we understand it, but any attempts that we are going to make to make analogies will really detract from what it is. Okay. Number three, the third reason, and this you can take a look in source number four on page two. This is from Isha Halacha. And the Rav writes over here that halachic man has no interest in Olam Haba. We'll just read it in English. The halacha is not at all concerned with the transcendent world. The world to come is a tranquil, quiet world that is wholly good, wholly everlasting, and wholly eternal, wherein a man will receive the reward for the commandments which he performed in this world. However, the receiving of reward is not a religious act. Therefore, halachic man prefers the real world to a transcendent existence, because here, in this world, man is given the opportunity to create, act, accomplish, while there, in the world to come, he's powerless to change anything at all. Perhaps this is what the pshat in the Rashi is, famous Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev V'shalva, Kafta Allah Ragzo Shel Yosef. What is Chazal saying? What's so bad? Yaakov, you know, he's had a hard, long life. So what's wrong with the Bikesh Yaakov Leshev V'shalva? So the answer is what Chazal say, that tzadikim lo dayan, meaning to say that this world is a makom avoda. Is a makom avoda. That is, we were put here for avoda. Avdol shamra. And therefore, the idea, there is going to be a time where we could sit back and chill, as it were, but not now. Now our time, our focus has to be avoda Hashem, doing mitzvos, building the world, all these things. And Olam Haba has nothing to do with it. So discussing Olam Haba is a distraction from what really we should be working on. You know, sometimes you'll see in books, they'll compare Judaism and Christianity. And they'll say, you know, Christianity is focused on the afterlife, and Judaism is focused on this world. And there's truth to that. That's what the Rav's saying. In other words, yes. It's not true the way it's sometimes depicted, which is that Judaism doesn't believe in Olam Haba. No, certainly it does, as we've seen and we will see. We certainly do believe in Olam Haba, and we'll even see that belief in Olam Haba is a fundamental belief. The Rambam indeed says that belief in Olam Haba is basically one of the Ikar Yamuna. But it's not something that we focus on. What is our focus on? Our focus is on Olam Hazeh. It's on halacha. It's on dikta halacha. It's about doing mitzvos. It's about building. And thinking too much about Olam Haba is a distraction from our focus. So yes, we believe in it. We certainly think it's true, but it's not something that we, you know, we shouldn't be writing books about it. And this is really what Chazal say, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hu haya omer, yafe sha'achas b'tshuvu ma'isim tovim b'olam hazeh, mikol chayolam haba. V'yafe sha'achas shel karas ruach b'olam haba, mikol chayolam hazeh. So, yes, we should be fully aware that when it comes to karas ruach, one moment of olam haba is greater than all of the pleasures of olam hazeh. But yafe sha'achas b'tshuva ma'isim tovim b'olam hazeh, yosem kel chayolam haba. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's this quote, which is from the Drashos at the back of the, at least in my version, the old brown Nefesh HaChaims. So in the back, they have Drashos of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. And he makes this point from the Gra. He says that that's exactly the way the Gra understood this Mishnah in Avos. In other words, you know, a person should think like, what importance does Olam Haba have? You can't do mitzvos in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not a makom avoda. So it's a passive reality. It's totally passive. And therefore, this is also a theme in the Ish Halacha, that's why we're afraid of death. Now, not one could go too far in their fear of death, and it isn't, we'll see in a moment. But you know, why are we afraid of death? Because we're not going to be able to do mitzvos. And that's the perspective of the Ish Halacha. There's another reason. So that was, we could call the third reason why we shouldn't really go on in this year. A fourth reason is that it's not just that it's a distraction, but that shouldn't really be our motivation for doing mitzvos. If you take a look at the source 14, jumping ahead a little bit, but the Rambam writes, the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Yud, that a person shouldn't do Avodas Hashem for Olam Haba. That is Begader. That is Begader Lo Lishma. Al Yomer Adam, Hareini Yose Mitzvos HaTorah Vosek B'chachma Asa Kedei She'kabel Kol Brachos HaKsuvos Ba O Kedei She'ezkel Chavaba V'afrosh Min Averos She'zira Torah Mehen Kedei She'enatzel Min HaKlalos HaKsuvos B'Torah O Kedei She'lo E'kares Mi'chayel Haba Ein Ro'i La'avod Es Hashem Al Adar Chazer. Person shouldn't say, I'm going to do mitzvahs to get Olam Haba, or I'm going to not do Avero so I don't get punished in Gehenim. She'ovid al derech hazeh, hu ha'ovid mi'ira, v'ein ha'maylas ha'neviyim v'loy ma'alas ha'chachamim, v'ein ovdim Hashem al derech hazeh, ela ame'aretz v'anashim ha'aktanim, she'machan chenosan, la'avod mi'ira, ad she'tar b'daitan v'yavdu me'ava. We'll get back to that later in a moment where he says, okay, there is a certain place for this, but for the most part, This is what Chazal said. Al tiu kavadim hamisham shemesarav al menas lekavel pras. And that being the case, so that's another reason why we shouldn't really focus on it, because that should not be our motivation. Why would one study Olam Haba? So if you think that Olam Haba, thinking about Olam Haba and serving Hashem in order to get Olam Haba is very important. So fine. So then maybe you should talk about it. But that is not the ideal service of God. And that is, we'll call the fourth reason why perhaps we shouldn't really be talking about Olam Haba, certainly not giving a whole shiur on it. Okay. So should we stop here? Maybe it's a little short shiur. So I think perhaps maybe this is just an excuse for me to go on, but I think perhaps there is some value to continuing. And let's start with that last point. It's sort of interesting. This is indeed the way the Rambam understands the famous Mishnah about Al Tiyu Kavadim Hamishamshim Es Harav Al Menas L'Kabel Pras. It's sort of interesting, actually, what happened in that Mishnah. In other words, was that a good thing to say? Was it a teaching that came out? So where is that Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Antignus Yisocher, Socho said, Al tiyu kavadim hasham shen sarav Al menas lekabel pras. Now, what's interesting is that there were two people in the audience at the time that he gave that teaching, Tzadok and Isus, and what happened with them? So Tzadok and Isus were there, and they were a little dismayed, They perhaps misunderstood. They perhaps thought that this is going to be, he was saying that there is no Olam Haba. But I'll call upon him. This is sort of what led them off the derech. The Rambam writes, and I didn't put this in your sheet, but this is in the Rambam's Hakdama to Perek Chelek, and he writes, "V'lachein hetiru lahamon shiyisharu kufidatam lasos hatov letikvas hagmul ulhisrachik menaraos miyas haonish." And he writes, "V'kpidu al antignos ishocho al shapirsem behamon mashapirsem ve'amru bekach achanim hizaru bidvarechem." You have to look on a little bit in Perkei Avos, right? It says later on, Chachamim hizaru bidvareichem. Chachamim, be careful about what you say. Now what exactly is the teaching of Chachamim hizaru bidvareichem? What are they getting at? It's not just telling us, it's not just saying, don't say false things. That's obvious. This is from later on in that parak. It's parak Aleph, Yud Aleph, of Talion Omer, Chachamim Zerah B'Zerayichem. Shama Tachuvu Chovas Galos, V'Tiglu L'makol Mayim Harayim, V'Yishtu HaTalmidim, Habayim Achareichem V'Yamusu, V'Nimtza Shem Shamayim Eschal. So what's it talking about? What is it talking about, a particular event? Is it just giving such advice? So the Rambam says, yeah, it's talking about an event. What happened was that Tzadok and Baisos were in the audience when Antigonus taught this teaching. And what happened was that they thought that there was no Olam Haba, or they thought, you know, why do I need to work so hard doing mitzvos? And they went, and the schism started. They started a whole new branch of Judaism, and that was because it's he taught something that he shouldn't have taught, and we have to be careful about that. And he writes, he goes on, Ve'ena hamon mafsidin lagamre biyosa mekaymen es hamitzos miyosa onesh. It's not that bad if people go ahead and are oved Hashem from Yira. The tikvas haschar, ella sheinim shleimim. Okay, it's not the perfect avodas Hashem. Aval mutav lam bekach, kidei shetikne lahem tchuna v'achshar elokim ha-Torah v'yavdu el ha-emes v'yu avadim ovdim me'ava v'hu amram aleim Hashem v'olom yasuk adam b'Torah bilu shalol lishma. So says the Rambam that this first point, I guess, is more of an educational point, that most people serve God because they're hoping to get rewarded, or they're afraid of being punished, or whatever it is. And yes, that might not be the highest madrega, but you have to be very careful about what you teach. And it's not right. You know, sometimes people don't realize it. Sometimes they think, okay, you know, as a teacher of Torah, I should always tell the truth, tell the whole story. And it's not my achrayas to think about what the result of that teaching is going to be. And if people come away from my shir, and okay, they come away with less yir shamayim, but that's not my problem. My goal is to teach the truth, and I taught the truth, and the Chazal are telling us that's not the right attitude. We can't distort the Torah, we can't lie, but Chachamim Yizhar B'Dvarichem. So that's one point to think about. And the Rambam says that, and the Rambam, the truth is, he says this also over there in Hilchos Tshuva. He alludes to it, at least, like we said, that mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. So the Rambam is telling us that there is some value of serving God because we hope to get rewarded. And as such, you have to know a little bit, you know, talk about Olam Haba and Gehenim and the like. Okay, but that's still not such a ringing endorsement. But the truth is that a person really has to be realistic about where they're holding. If a person goes ahead and, you know, is struggling to get up in the morning, their alarm goes off, and, you know, they're thinking, should I hit snooze and come a little bit late, or get up now with Jesus and I'll be on time for davening and get my tefillin on? And so could be that thinking about Olam Haba is something that's going to work. It's going to be inspiring, and it'll push them out of bed. In which case, if you go ahead and you say, well, you know, I'm only going to serve God out of Avas Hashem, like the Rambam writes, is the ideal level. Oses emes mipneshu emes. It's not about me, right? Why is serving God to get Olam Haba not the ideal service? Because in the end of the day, that's just about you. It's about me. I want to get Olam Haba, right? And that's not the ideal service of God. It shouldn't be about us. It should be about God. It should be about Avas Hashem. It should be about Oses emes mipneshu emes. But Lamaisa, if that's going to get you out of bed in the morning and get you to shul in time, then that's the right thing to do. And if you take a look, source number 7, Rav Dessler says, you know, it's true that the Rambam writes that this is the derech of Ketanim, but maybe that's not the whole story. Look at the source 7, top of page 3. Hechziku atzadikim zal l'neged einehem tamid es tziure gan eden v'atayinu ganifla shebederech Hashem. U'v'zeh nitzchu es yitzram v'amdu neged kol anisyonos. Chazal horu lanu derech zos. Ki harei kol hagadata shebeshas u'v'medrashim melei tziurim chayim u'muchashim mamish. V'im adam yilam dem heite v'yishmirem b'zichrono v'yaleim al dimyono. If we look at Chazal, we have so many midrashim describing whatever it is, the goodness of Olam Haba, the Tsar, or the Bushim, Gehenim, or whatever it is. Why do Chazal do this? Because this is something that can motivate us. And Tzadikim have used this to motivate us. And the truth is, even in that Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, if we go back to the Rambam, which was source 14, and we read on the page 5, the Rambam's sort of interesting. It's true, you know, in Halacha, if we just stopped at Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph, we would see that serving God, you know, for Olam Haba, is very dismissive of it. But if we read on in Halacha Beis, he continues. Ha'ovid me'ava osik b'tor v'mitzvos v'holich b'nesivos ha'chachma lo mipnei davar ba'olam. The lo mipnei yiras hara, the lo kedei lirash hatova, ela osa emes mipnei shu emes, the sof hatova lavo biglala, umalazu himaila gedola meod ve'en kol chacham zochala. Not everybody is really zocha to that madrega of ava sashem, of osa emes mipnei shu emes. V'umailas avram avinu shekar kadosh baruch hu oavo lefi shelo avad el me'ava. In other words, the madrega of Oved Hashem Me'ava is what? Is the madrega of Avram Avinu. So clearly, so which one is it, right? First, in Halacha Aleph, he said that not, you know, doing it is not being Oved Hashem for Olam Haba is the madrega of Am He'aretz V'nashim V'ktanim. So yeah, it's true, Machanchan Osam, that way, but it's Am He'aretz. And then he says, oh, and what's the alternative? The madrega of Avram Avinu. So which one is it? So clearly there's a big range. In other words, if someone's only motivation is Olam Haba or Gehenim or whatever it is, that's it. There's nothing to it. So that's, relatively speaking, a pretty low madrega. But to get to a madrega where it's only about Oses Emes Meshu Emes, that's the madrega of Avram Avinu. And, you know, there not every chacham, not even every navi, reached that madrega. And what that means then is that there is a place in the Avodas Hashem of, you know, almost everybody where thinking about Olam Haba should play a role. And if a person sort of ignores that, so they're not following the advice of Chazal. Chazal tell us that Liolam Yasok Adam, B'Torah Mitzvah Shelo Lishma, when we talk Shelo Lishma, Ba Lishma. So a person has to see that they're growing towards Avas Hashem. But it would be inappropriate to sort of say, I don't want to think about this at all. That would not be following what Chazal themselves say when they say that Li'olam Yasok B'Torah Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. So the first reason that we're mentioning that it is important or valuable to study a little bit, at least, about what Olam Haba is, or Gehenim for that matter, is it's a powerful motivating force, one which we shouldn't be dismissive of. And even the Rambam, I think when we read carefully, is not dismissive of it. Number two is really much more fundamental. Take a look at source number 8, the Mishnah in Perek HaChela. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelok Lomapa, Shenemar V'amech Kulam Tzadikim Li'olam Yerushu Aretz, Netzer Mato'ai, Maaseh Yadai Lihispa'er. First of all, just to hara, I hope we're going to have a chance to discuss it more, though not immediately. If you take a look over here, you'll see that the Torah is merames to Olam Haba with Eretz. And you'll see actually many, many, many places, if you start paying attention, that that is the case. It's Eretz, it's Adama, and the like. Leman Yirbu Yimeichem al Adama is a reference to Olam Haba in Chazal and many other places. It's fascinating. If you learn Pekach Halak, you'll see many examples of this, why that is, that the analogy for Olam Haba is Eretz. Again, maybe we'll have a chance to get back to that. So Chazal say, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchilek L'mah Ba, Ve'elu She'en L'mchilek L'mah Ba, Ha'omer Ein Tchis HaMeisim Min HaTorah. So who doesn't have a chelek? Those who say there's no Tchis HaMeisim. That's the first category. Another interesting point that we'll note, I don't think we'll explain it now, but it's a very funny formulation. First we say, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchilek L'mah Ba, and then we say, Ve'elu She'en L'mchilek L'mah Ba. So which one is it? If there are those who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba, then it's not true, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchel Olam Haba. It didn't say, you know, it could have said, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchel Olam Haba chutz mei ha'omer ein t'chias ha'meisim in HaTorah. Fine, that would have been okay. That would, we have many Mishnais along those lines, that there's a rule with an exception. Ein l'meidim na'klalos. But that's not what it says. We first have this categorical statement of Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchel Olam Haba, period. And then we have a seemingly contradictory statement, which is Ve'elu She'en L'mchel Olam Haba. So clearly then, the second statement isn't a stira. So how so? The very short brief answer, but this is something that requires elaboration, is that it is true, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'mchel Olam Haba, and those who don't have a Chel Olam Haba is because they're not begeder Kol Yisrael. Okay, but that's something we should get back to. So. Why is that? Why is someone who says no tchis hameisim min haTorah, why do they not have a chelek olam haba? So the Gemara says over there in Sanhedrin, hu kafar ba lefikach lo yelo chelek ba. It's mida keneged mida. He denied olam haba, and therefore he has no chelek in olam haba. So from there, and again, this is another point we'll get back to hopefully later in the shir today, that you see here, by the way, that Chazal associate Tchias HaMeisim with Olam Haba, right? Because what does it say? Hu kafar ba, lefikach lo yelo chelek ba. Well, what was he kofir in? He says, ein Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. So he's kofir in Tchias HaMeisim, lefikach ein lo chelek ba. That is the predominant view in the Rishonim, the view of the Ramban, the Rama, and many others. The association with Olam Haba and Tchias HaMeisim, we'll get back to it later, very different than the position of the Rambam, which we alluded to before. But for now, we're going to leave that point. So instead, I want to look at the source number 9, which is the Yad Rama. Yad Rama, in commenting on this Mishnah, writes, V'inyan Olam Haba, Yisod Gadol Misod HaTorah Hu. The concept of Olam Haba is one of the fundamental principles of the Torah. Sharei HaKofer Ba, Bo, Af Al Pi Sheyesh Biyado Torah Maisim Tovim, if you deny Olam Haba, so you have no chelek in Olam Haba. So we see how fundamental it is, right? Almost like we were saying before that by denying Olam Haba, the Mishnah is implying that you're not part of Kol Yisrael. Can refresh Mas Nisan Umosif Le Berure Be Gemara. The Gemara over there in Perek Chelek, in fact, does spend a lot of time discussing exactly what Olam Haba is. The Lo'od. Ela shetziduk dino shal kodesh baruch hu talui ba. Lomar, she'enev pikuchos al kol darkei b'nei adam, laseis lish kidrachav uchapri ma'alalav. The Rama here is telling us something obvious, actually, but very important, which is that without Olam Haba, there is no justice. Meaning to say that we live in a world which is not always fair and not always just. Just earlier this week, many were commemorating Yom HaShoah, right? The Holocaust. You can't, if all there is Olam Hazan, then there is no justice. There are righteous people that suffer, babies that suffer, innocent people that suffer, and they die. And if there is no Olam Haba, then either you're forced to conclude that there is no Hashgacha, that things just happen randomly, or that God isn't just, or both, right? So at the very least, belief in Olam Haba is a fundamental principle. Without Olam Haba, then there is no Hashgacha, there is no justice. And that's why certainly belief in Olam Haba is a very fundamental principle. But then the Rama continues, L'fikach tzrichim anu l'farsh inyano, l'fi ma shekibalnu me'avoseinu u'me'ravoseinu. Therefore, we have to explain it. In other words, because Olam Haba is such a fundamental yesod, then it's important to understand at least something. Okay, it may be true that we're not going to understand all of it, and any descriptions we give are going to be inadequate. But if it's that fundamental, then we have to know something. And he writes, Lefi ma shekibalnu me'avoseinu me'avoseinu, according to the tradition that we have. What does he mean? So we'll see a little more about this, but because that's all we know. Really, anything we know about it is from Kabbalah, because like we said, it's not explicit in the Psukim anywhere. And therefore, we do have traditions. They're not necessarily complete, but we have something, and there's value in doing that. And therefore, certainly according to the Yad Ramah, there is value in our continuing our discussion to some degree. The idea that belief in Olam Haba is a fundamental principle is in the Rambam as well, source number 10. This is from the Yud Gimel Ikar Yemunah of the Rambam in his Hakdama to Perek HaChelech. Vayisod ha'charasar shehu yisalem mishalem gmul tov l'misha mikayeh mitzvos ha'Torah. The concept that God rewards those who do that which is right, essentially justice. U'manish misha over al azoroseha, and he punishes those who violate the Torah. V'shigmulo ha'gadol hu Olam Haba, and the ultimate reward is Olam Haba, v'ansho achamor kares, and the worst punishment is kares. We'll talk about what kares means for the Rambam in a moment. So that is one of the Ikar Emunah. So everybody certainly is going to agree that belief in Olam Haba is absolutely an essential principle and belief. It's one of the Ikar Emunah. And as such, at the very least, I think it's worthwhile to spend at least a little bit of time trying to understand some aspects of it, even as we're aware that whatever we can't understand is going to be incomplete. Yes, Surly.
Is the Yad Ramah's idea for divine justice now it all balances out? Is that reflected in Eov?
If you understand Eov correctly, then I think yes, but it's not the whole picture. And that's a really good point, which is what we see in Eov is that if you're trying to understand the problem of evil, so it is insufficient to just say Olam Haba. That's not the whole story. What the story of Eov teaches us is that there is no single one-line answer to the problem of Eov. And not only that, but when Eov's friends come and they sort of try to give simple and simplistic answers and explanations for Eov's intense and unbearable suffering, so they're dismissed. And even though many of the doctrines that Eov's friends say are true, but in the end of the Sefer, Hashem says that I'm angry at you, and what you said was wrong. Not because theologically that's true. Many of the things that they said are correct. Certainly he was saying that's not the way you treat somebody who's suffering. But also, I think that what he's saying is that that it's much more complex than that. And certainly, a central lesson of Eov is that we can't expect to understand everything. That's what Hashem tells Eov. You know, where were you when I created the world? And your expectation to really understand everything is presumptuous. And there are things that you'll never understand. So what we see from Eov is certainly that if you're trying to understand the problem of evil, you can't just say, okay, Olam Haba. There's much more to answering that question. But at the same time, what the Yad Rabbah is saying is Olam Haba is a part of that. Part of that is our acknowledgement that we can't understand everything. But that doesn't mean that we understand nothing. And in fact, I think we mentioned this, but if you look at the Ramban in his Shar Gemor, where he has a whole long explanation of basically about what the Book of Eov is, and he goes and he presents the different philosophies in Eov, and then he goes and he presents his ultimate theory, his understanding of what the ultimate lesson of Eov is. And then he says something interesting. He says, well, you know, if in the end of the day, we're going to be forced to say that this is a mystery and we can't really understand everything, so maybe you'll tell me, so why do I even start? Like, why have I written 20 pages about, you know, what the solution to the problem of evil is, if in the end of the day, I'm going to just say, well, you know, Tzarchian. So the Ramban writes, this is not the way of a chacham. That attitude is the attitude of people that are moasei hachachma, those who despise wisdom. That if you, what is the derech hachachamim? The derech hachachamim is to understand as much as we can, and also acknowledge our inadequacy and our inability to fully understand the problem. Lo alacham lacha ligmor, but also v'lo ata ben chori lipater mimena. And that's why the Ramban says it is very valuable to think about this topic. And I think it's in that context that we should view this statement of the Yad Ramban alike, which is, on the one hand, it's certainly true what the Ramban says, that we're not going to be able to fully understand this. And whatever understanding we have will be inadequate, and we have to be fully aware of that. But at the same time, there may still be value in understanding something. And to just say, you know, there's no point in understanding anything, that's not the right attitude either. Jonathan.
So my question is there any sort of, I mean, maybe in a logical sense there might be, but in the religious sense, is there any contradiction to believing in a just and all-powerful God, but then also believing in that evil exists, that tragedy exists, like things that have already happened?
That's certainly a big question that can't be answered al rega lachas. I do think you're absolutely right that, and this is very much in keeping with what I said before, that that the answer to the problem of evil is complex. If you take a look, for example, at Lonely Man of Faith and other writings of the Rav, he says that, he talks about this point, that the even another place that's very good is called Odi Dofeik, where he discusses this point, is the attitude of the Jewish people towards the problem of evil is not to deny it. You know, very much, very strongly, you know, as one could, you know, one approach that's taken to the problem of evil is to deny it, to say it simply doesn't exist. Like we said before, you know, Olam Haba, simple answer, and to deny it. And that's very much not the approach of the Torah. The approach of the Torah is to acknowledge that there is suffering, and if you wish, there is evil, and the like. And we shouldn't deny it. So if that's what you mean, that we don't deny it, then absolutely. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a solution either. It's not a simple solution. And I'll just read a little bit to you since I brought it up from the Rav on that problem, that point. Let me see if... So this is from Koldo Dido Fake, where again is one place where the Rav discusses this extensively. The Rav writes, first of all, that the focusing on the question is inappropriate. We ask not about the reason for evil and its purpose, but rather about its rectification and uplifting. How should a man react in distress? What should a person do so as not to rot in his affliction? Halachic answer to this question is very simple. Suffering comes to elevate man, to purify his spirit and sanctify him and cleanse, et cetera, et cetera. So first of all, the Rav very much focuses and says that we have to, have the right attitude towards this question. That's number one. But in that, let's see. I want to finish up for today. I can't actually quite find the quote that I'm looking for. But if you take a look over there, that's certainly a point that he makes. So essentially, I'm agreeing to what you're saying, but adding that nevertheless, what I think we want to do today, though I guess we're not really going to get to it today, is to that there is value in trying to actually think and answer this question, even as we're aware of the limitations of whatever answer we should give, and to take a look at that piece in Koldo Dido Fake in the meantime. Maybe we'll conclude today with two points more briefly. Number one, I want to point to an interesting stira in the Rambam. So we already saw that the Rambam tells us that the ideal service of God should not be because of Olam Haba, that ideally a person should be Oved Hashem Me'ava and not be serving God in order to get Olam Haba. Take a look, though, at source number 15, bottom of page 5. So the Rambam over here writes, this is from Perek Ches of Hilchos Tshuva L'Chazayin, a little earlier. V'kama kame David v'sa'avel chalom haba. Sh'ne'amar le'hamanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem b'aretz chayim. Look how much David HaMelech longed for Olam Haba. As the Pasuk says, Lulei Amati Lo'os B'tuv Hashem B'Eretz Chayim. There you go, another place where we see Eretz as a reference to Olam Haba. Again, it's Eretz Chayim. It's Li'olam Yershuaret, talking about the land of the living, the land of infinite life and the light, which is why it's understood as a reference to Olam Haba. But you see there, again, another place where we see Eretz referring to Olam Haba. So look how much David HaMelech longed for Olam Haba. So at first glance, this would seem to be a stira to what we saw earlier in the Rambam, which was from Perek Yud of Hilchos Tshuva. There the Rambam said that longing for Olam Haba is the derech of Amei Aretz, It's not the derech of David HaMelech. David HaMelech. And here it's very clear that the Rambam is praising David HaMelech. Look at the Rambam as being Meshabech David HaMelech by pointing to the degree to which David HaMelech longed for Olam Haba. So why is that true? Why is that not a stira to the Rambam or stira within the Rambam? So the answer is, and one formulation of this is in source 16. This is from Reb Tzadok. If you take a look at the Rav in Uvikashta Misham, he gives the same exact answer. An answer is that there's no stira at all. David HaMelech was longing for Olam Haba. Why was he longing for Olam Haba? So Olam Haba, at its most basic, is Kirva L'Elokim. It's Yediyas Hashem. When David HaMelech was longing for Olam Haba, it meant that there's nothing that he wanted more than to be Mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ultimate place for that is Olam Haba. Like Chazal described Olam Haba, Tzadikim Yoshim Vatrasein V'Roshem Nena Mizib Hashchina. It's not physical pleasure. It's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that is impossible for us now here in this world. So David HaMelech loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such intensity that there's nothing that he wanted more than Liros B'Tzuv Hashem Be'etz Chaim. That's not what the Rambam is referring to in Perek Yud of Hilchos Teshuva when he says it's the Derech of Amei Haaretz. There's a very big difference between saying, I want to be rewarded, and therefore I'm doing mitzvos for the sake of getting Olam Haba. Like we said before, that's the opposite of Avas Hashem. That's all about me. Why do I want Olam Haba? Because I want payment, okay? I want schar, I want pleasure. The ultimate pleasure is Olam Haba. So good, so that's why I want to do it. That, again, there's a place for such avoda, like we said, but that's not the highest madrega. It's not Avas Hashem. But what was David HaMelech? David HaMelech wasn't longing for Olam Haba because he wanted schar. David HaMelech wanted kirva l'Elokim. I mean, look at all of Sefer Tehillim. That's what did David HaMelech want? Liros b'tuv Hashem be'etz chayim. That is what David HaMelech was longing for. And that is certainly not a stira to Avas Hashem. If anything, adarabba, it's a kiyum of Avas Hashem, or it's a reflection of Avas Hashem. So we have to be very careful when we distinguish. A tzaddik longing for Olam Haba is a reflection of the tzaddik's tzidkos, of Avas Hashem and the like. And that's very different than saying, you know, I'm going to do the mitzvos in order to get paid. Okay, so I guess what I was hoping to do today, we didn't end up doing. We I guess, gave a hakdama that legitimized, maybe, if you accept what I guess we'll do next year. I don't want to spend more than one year on it, but Bezrat Hashem, next time, we'll begin with talking about what Olam Haba actually is. Today, we started by discussing why maybe it's not a good idea to talk about Olam Haba. We conclude it by seeing that perhaps there is value, though maybe limited value, to studying this matter, at least to some degree. And Bezrat Hashem, what we'll talk about next time is, well, what actually is Olam Haba? And we'll consider the differing approaches to that question. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Ach, dear. Thank you.
Could I ask Rebbe a question?
Sure.
So part of what I was talking about in my question to Rebbe, not only about, I mean, obviously it has a lot of connections to Olam Haba and us having purpose and what that purpose is and everything. But additionally, I think that, like, something I heard I was at a shul on Shabbos last week. I heard an interpretation of Vayidom Aaron, which I've never heard before, that he was silent because he took solace in what Moshe said. But it wasn't just solace in what Moshe said, it was that essentially, like, that his kids may have died, yes, but they died for a purpose. Unclear what it is to us entirely, but that it happened for a purpose. So just like, largely speaking, one can see in like certain areas that could be relevant to say, but in a lot of other areas, it can come off as very tone deaf. Like even off of like Yom HaShoah, you can't go up to a Holocaust survivor and say, well, it's okay. Yeah, half of your family might have died, but it was for a reason.
I think you're right. And that's exactly what I was trying to say, that whatever answer you're going to give is probably not going to be correct if it's whatever answer it is, if it's just one minute. But that doesn't mean there isn't truth in the answer. And it doesn't mean, like I think you pointed out, that I'll give you a mashal just to use your particular example. So Aaron HaKohen gets tremendous char for Vayidom Aaron, whatever that means. And Ramban there says, again, whatever it means he was silent. He must have been crying before. And afterwards, after what Moshe told him, he was silent. If you look at the Ramban on the Pasuk of Losis Godudu, so, and also the Ramban says the same thing in his Hakdama to Tarsa Adam. He says, if you look in the whole Torah, there's never an Isser to cry, right? The Torah prohibited this masochistic mourning rituals like cutting yourself, but sorry, I don't know. I got cut off. Are you still there? All right. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear Rebbe.
Okay, so
I don't know what happened there.
That Ramban writes that we don't find, the Torah does not demand that a person quiet themselves. In other words, that crying is legitimate. So what about Vayidom Aaron? So the Ramban is saying is that Vayidom Aaron is an extraordinary madrega that was appropriate for Aaron at the time. The Sefer Chinuch makes a similar point. It comes out from the Sefer Chinuch. He notes that on the one hand, we have the expectation of Kohen Gadol, which is very different than what's really a mitzvah for everybody else. Meaning to say, for everybody else, there's a mitzvah for them to be involved in kvura and all that entails. And then for the Kohen Gadol, we say, no, you're because of your stature, it's a different response. So there's not one response for everybody. The Madrega, what Aaron HaKohen did, when it says Vayidom Aaron, was an extraordinary act. And he The Torah says that's extraordinary. That doesn't mean that that's the right approach for everybody all the time. And Adarabba, the Ramban says that was tremendous act of piety for Aaron at the time, but that's not the right act for everybody else. So I think it's very important to learn the lesson of Aaron and Vayedom Aaron. But the lesson that we're meant to take away from that isn't that, okay, that's how I should act all the time. There was an act of gvura, of being kovesh himself, that Aaron did then. And that was tremendous. That's not the approach that the Torah says is right for most of the people most of the time. For most people most of the time, the right approach is crying.
Right.
The right approach for Aaron at that time, for whatever the factors were, now is not the time to get into it, was Vayedom. So I think we have to be careful not to learn the wrong message from that, to learn the right message from that, but not the wrong. That's not the prototypical response to tragedy, the response of Vayedom Aaron.
Yeah, no, of course. But I'm saying, when we say that, you know, someone, in any case, because at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason, and people tragically die young. And so people die young for a reason. And of course, we're never going to know even close to 100%, maybe not even close to 1% of the why. But if you take that to its logical conclusion, and yes, we're human, but if you take it to, if someone were to take it to the logical conclusion, it would almost make it sound like there's something wrong with being an Avel.
Right. So that's exactly. Take a look at the Ramban over there on Losis Godudu. He makes exactly that point. And there the Ramban writes that you might have had a Havamina, that crying is wrong. Right. Because if you believe, like you said, if you believe that everything is for a purpose and that there is Hashgacha and God is just, so then, you know, maybe crying is wrong.
Yeah. Maybe you're just,
or at least it's a lack of emunah.
Right? Yeah.
A lack of emunah to cry. And Ramban says, but it's not. In other words, you see from the Torah does not say that. The Torah says fakert. The Ramban writes that someone who doesn't cry is hardening his heart. That's not. He contrasts the Torah's views with the Stoics, if you take a look in the Hakdamah to Torah Sadam, right? That's not the right approach. Lo tasar habechi, lo titayv anacha. So, and then the Ramban talks a little bit about, so why taka, right? And he gives different answers in different places. One answer he gives is over there in the Perashat Torah, as he says, because you cry when you miss somebody. Even if you believe somebody is going to a better place for a good reason, you still cry. L'mashal l'madavar domeh, you know, when a kid is going to learn in Eretz Yisrael, they're at the airport, so his mother's going to cry. But why? She thinks he's going to a better place. She's so happy he's going. She would be, but okay, that doesn't mean you're not going to miss him. So that's part of the answer. There's more to it than that. But, you know, one of the reasons why we cry, the Ramban says, is because even if we know that it's just, and even if we believe that the person's going to a better place, doesn't mean you're not going to miss them. And that's not all the Ramban says. Take a look at the other places. The point is that that maybe you would have such a havamina, right? And it's wrong. That's not the Torah's attitude. The Torah's attitude is, like the Ramban says, lo tasar habechi v'lo titayv anacha. There might be such a thing as going too far, whether that's lo sisko to do, whether it's like the Gemara Moed Katan says that that there is what's appropriate, you know, shiva and shlosha and shiva and the like, and there is such a thing as overdoing it, where, you know, person is expected at a certain point maybe to move on. But for the most part, a grief is not something that the Torah prohibits. And Adarabba, the Torah, someone who's acts in an overly stoic way is going against the Ratzon HaTorah.
All right.
All right, Shkayach.
All right. Thank you, Shkayach Rebbe.
My pleasure. Kol tov. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.